on every page of the recipe book, there's a non-alcoholic option and there's a low alcoholic option. And so I think that message hadn't really been heard by, there hadn't been many other non-alc brands that had really been talking about that. It's more about abstinence than it was about moderation.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Chris Abbott, who is a co-founder of The Pathfinder. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Nice to be here.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to stories. Why don't we start with a description of what The Pathfinder actually is?
Okay. Yeah, let's start there. Pathfinder is, it's a non-alcoholic spirit. And what that means is it performs a lot like an alcohol spirit. You can drink it neat, you can put it on the rocks, you can mix it into a cocktail, but it has less than 0.05% alcohol in the liquid. It's not meant to be anything else. It's not a gin without alcohol or a whiskey without alcohol. It is its own thing. And I guess I would describe it as bitter, sweet, and complex.
Love that. Let's talk about the backstory. What led to you and your two co-founders to come up with this idea to launch this differentiated spirit?
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting team. So it's myself, a gentleman named Stephen Grass, who owns an agency called Quaker City Mercantile, and another gentleman named Guy Escombe. I have a background in Wall Street and then left Wall Street and started a wine storage business. And then about a year into that, cannabis legalized here in Washington State, where I live in Seattle. So I started a cannabis company, and working on brands for the cannabis company, I got to meet Guy Escombe, who worked for a long time at Diageo and was a marketeer there, also worked in innovation. And the two of us got together, and cannabis is just fraught with all kinds of painful walls that you have to climb over. Given it's federally illegal at the moment, it's state legal in many places, but it's federally illegal. And so between taxes and distribution and how you produce your product, it's a really hard business to be a part of. And there's really no place to consume cannabis anywhere in the country with your friends, like a bar where we can consume alcohol. So with Guy's background in spirits and my background in cannabis, we started thinking about, what is the back bar going to look like? Clearly, there's a lot of people that think cannabis is going to disrupt alcohol, but how is that actually going to work and when will it happen? And so thinking about that and then seeing Seedlip come out and do this just an amazing product and idea and follow through and marketing was, wow, this is an interesting way to play in the bar, play with how people socialize. We drink when we socialize and come at it from a totally different direction than when everyone else is coming at it. Because for the most part, people have done non-alcoholic spirits as a health and wellness play. And we wanted to come at it totally different as a way to enjoy yourself and have a great time out of the bars today without alcohol and then maybe tomorrow with some cannabis in it. Guy had worked with Stephen before. Stephen's agency, Quaker City Mercantile, works for many of the large multinational drinks companies, including Diageo and then William Grant & Sons. He developed Hendrick's Gin for William Grant & Sons. He also owned Sailor Jerry's, which is one of the most popular rums in the world now, and sold it to William Grant & Sons. Agency is incredible, and he's got these amazingly talented people there. Stephen himself is just, he's a rare bird in the sense that he's an agency guy and understands how to do that very well at the top, I would say better than almost anybody else, but he's also an entrepreneur. So he's scrappy and he understands what it takes to get a business up off the ground, which is often very different than what it takes for a multinational to keep a brand running. So it's been a really cool partnership between the three of us. We're all coming at it a little bit differently, but using all of our skills and our backgrounds to get this thing up off the ground and into the world.
So given that kind of diverse skill set of the team, you had this idea of that more social occasion for a different approach in the cannabis space. What led to the choice that you made of distilling from fermented hemp and everything else that came into this really unique product?
We wanted to live on the back bar. We wanted the Pathfinder to be a brand that you would walk into a bar and you would see it on the menu and you would see this beautiful bottle sitting next to all the other beautiful bottles And so in order to do that, we started with, well, when you think about alcohol and you think about how many of these spirits are made, there's just so much interesting things that happen in the process of them being made. Lots of people love to dig in on that piece and really understand it. So for us to have to do something, we wanted it to be rooted and have into something that you could actually trace and understand how it was made. And it would have all those familiar cues as an alcohol spirit would. So what better way than to start with exactly how alcohol spirits are made? So that's why we did what we did. Understanding the laws around cannabis, the only thing that the FDA allows for human consumption today within cannabis is hemp seeds. So that's where we started because we knew that was legal and we wanted to be on the back bar. So it needed to be legal, right? It's federally legal. So we took hemp seed and we fermented it because fermentation, a lot of times, is where flavor starts and complex flavor starts with fermentation. But we used a yeast that basically yields very low alcohol. So think about kombucha, for instance. There's ways to ferment without producing a lot of alcohol. So that's where we started. And then we distilled that to create a base liquid. And then from there, we started adding a bunch of different botanicals, herbs, and roots into it to make it complex and interesting. Thereby, it would allow bartenders to find a new flavor that they could play with when they're making their cocktails, but also have something that you could use in a lot of different applications. That complexity would allow you to mix it with a lot of different other components and have a great cocktail.
Talking about mixing ability and really versatility of the beverage, how did you think about distribution then and where you were going to go from an on-premise versus off-premise and those initial targets for introducing something that truly is different?
So here, I think a lot of the non-alcoholic spirit brands have largely gone direct to consumer, has been their first major push. And certainly the ability to talk straight to your consumer and sell straight to them without any middlemen is quite attractive. But as I mentioned, for us, it was really the whole thought process started with what is the back bar of the future going to look like? There's going to be gin and whiskey and tequila and rum and non-alcoholic spirits, and then there'll probably be cannabis spirits too. So we really wanted to come at it and build it the way many brands have been built in alcohol spirits, and that's starting with the bar, starting with bartenders. And that was a kind of a scary thing to do because we launched in September of 2021, right? So many bars were, you know, if they were open, they were really struggling because it just had been so hard during COVID. Many of them had shut down. So to launch a bar forward brand, you know, in the last throes of COVID was quite challenging, but ultimately it really gave us a focus and it gave us a differentiator over many of our peers who weren't focusing on the trade. They were really working on direct to consumer. We raised a little bit of friends and family money, and the whole idea was to prove that we had something real. And in order to do that, with the very little money we had, we figured, well, let's start with one bar in one neighborhood and let's prove that we can make it work in that bar and in that neighborhood. So we chose Capitol Hill in Seattle, which is really cool. Funky neighborhood, lots of cool bars, lots of music venues, great coffee spots, interesting independent retailers. And the idea was like, let's just saturate the heck out of this neighborhood and just make it like, if you walked into this neighborhood, you could not help but wonder, what is the Pathfinder? That was our goal. And you could do that on a small budget because it's not a huge neighborhood, right? So we had Steven's team did these incredible posters that we put on all the telephone poles. We sold into a little apothecary on Capitol Hill. We partnered with Cafe Vita, which is a really strong coffee chain in Seattle. And one of their flagship spots is right there on Capitol Hill. And then we launched in a bar called Life on Mars, which has a couple different partners. One of the partners is Craig Ravinsky, who has since joined to be our first employee. Another is John Richards. He's a really famous radio DJ here in Seattle and an amazing guy. And then the last is the owner of a music venue in town. And we were also at that music venue. So we were able to achieve this like really cool sort of saturation. I call it the Topo Chico effect. Suddenly everywhere you look, you're like, what is Topo Chico? Everybody's drinking it. And it was try to do that. And we were really successful getting these placements done. And from there, it kind of, that spark is what really got us going. And the ability to show that it worked at all these different venues, that people were talking about it and thinking about it, was really, yeah, the initial spark that really got us cooking in Washington State.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
So you had that kind of concentrated launch in Washington State, and then we had the post-COVID environment where we might have overindulged in some of the alcohol space during COVID and people were looking for alternatives. How has that really shaped the direction of the Pathfinder coming out of the COVID time?
Yeah, honestly, better lucky than good in this case, because there is a massive wave right now that's happening. And it's not only in the US, it is global, where people just, I think everyone and most people still enjoy alcohol and want alcohol in their lives. They just want to moderate it a bit and be able to go out, have a great time with their friends, maybe have one more drink than they would, you know, normally have, and not to go home or wake up the next morning feeling like they have to pay for it. And so our big thing was, how do we create something that just helps you moderate it, but feel like an adult and feel like it's fun and feel like you're having an experience that equal, if it has alcohol or it doesn't, that doesn't matter. You're still having an amazing experience. I can still have a shot with the bartender and cheers and like yell and scream. And that doesn't need to be with alcohol always. So it's this kind of divorcing good time with alcohol that we've stumbled upon. And I think it's just in the zeitgeist right now, right? So it's been incredible to be able to have an idea, come out with it, and then also have the timing right from a market perspective that it's something that consumers are looking for.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. As you thought about that, given that your marketing strategy had historically been this kind of concentrated, have you done anything special to really jump on that cultural trend, or has the trend pulled you along more than anything?
Yeah, I would say that a little bit of both. We definitely have been pulled along by the trend, and it's been quite exciting. The New York Times came out, and they have Wirecutter, and they came out and ranked all these non-alcoholic spirits. And so I think that's a function of like their readers are thinking about this, and they want to know, what do you think's the best? And so we got listed on that list. I think the second list that they put out, which has just been an incredible boon to our business because it's just so widely followed and really highly regarded. That would be a great example of how getting on that list, we've been pulled along really well. And then in other ways, I think we've been taking a different approach than many of the other non-alcs and starting to have, I think, quite a loud voice how people might think about non-alcohol and think about their time when they go out. And one of the big things that we've been pushing and just talking about a lot is how people's relationship with alcohol and how they might be able to navigate their night. You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean sober necessarily. It just means you get to do what you want to do. You are in control. The alcohol's not in control. You're in control. And so getting on bars and being on menu oftentimes is a non-alc, but when you think about it in the concept of like your total night, like if you could sit down and look at a menu and you could say, okay, I'm going to be here for roughly 3 hours and I want to have a really good time and I'm probably going to need to drink at least 3 drinks. Okay. I might have an alcohol drink on the low alcohol side. Then I might have a Pathfinder and then I might finish the night with an old fashioned or something like that. We have these recipe books that we put in a lot of the stores and then we give to the bars. Then we have them in our direct to consumer, communications. And on every page of the recipe book, there's a non-alcoholic option and there's a low alcoholic option. And so I think that message hadn't really been heard by, there hadn't been many other non-op brands that had really been talking about that. It's more about abstinence than it was about moderation. And I think we've led that idea and that discussion that this is, a lot of this is about moderation and how we have a great time when we're out, but not necessarily have alcohol be at the very center of the stage.
When you think about expansion for the business, a lot of brands get that temptation of, we need to launch a new SKU, a new variant, especially in the alcohol space where they're always looking for the newness, if you will. How have you guys approached the expansion of taking the brand and focusing on the core versus maybe being tempted for expanding what the Pathfinder brand means?
Yeah, that's a great question because so many people want us to create something else, another flavor profile. And it makes a lot of sense why brands do it, because you've invested all this time and energy into your distribution network. And all you need to do is come out with another flavor, right? And it just goes right alongside your brand. It makes your brand look bigger. You get paid more money because you have more SKUs. And there's a lot to be said by expanding with new ideas and new SKUs. But there's also a decent amount to be lost. And I think here is where Stephen Grass's experience has been really valuable. When you think about the trajectory of Hendrick's Gin and what they were able to do, it's quite remarkable. And they did that with one SKU. You know what I mean? One bottle, one variant. And of course, they've come out with since, but it was a good 10 years in before they came out with a second Hendrick's. And yeah, I think that we're really approaching it that way. Like it takes a lot of energy and focus, and the more SKUs you have, it just takes away from other things. And for us right now, the most important thing is building out the brand and beginning to figure out, what does the Pathfinder stand for? How do we talk about it? And could we build this incredible world where we begin to blur the lines between cannabis and alcohol and non-alc, all in the service of having a great time.
So with that in mind, when you think about the future of the business, how do you continue to play in this world between the expansion of alcohol, the continued legalization of cannabis, and everything else that goes into the future of this brand?
Yeah, for us, it just all starts with that back bar and ends with the back bar. How do we become relevant? Win bartenders over to our side. We're in the process of rolling out nationwide now from our start in Washington State. And we're doing the exact same thing that we did in Washington, which is focus on a neighborhood, win that neighborhood over, and then grow from that neighborhood into the state. It's a very deliberate and focused rollout approach. Probably not the fastest approach you can take, but in our minds, if we build it and build it strong, it will last almost forever. If you look at the back bar right now and you look at the brands that are on that back bar, there's been an explosion in spirits brands, I would say, over the last decade for sure. But Johnny Walker, Jim Beam, these brands are really old. They're 100 years old plus. And we see that as the real opportunity to get Pathfinder on that back bar. And you'll see that if we do the job, we grow the brand patiently and with the right people, and we focused, that we could see the Pathfinder will be a forever brand. It will be on the back bar 100 years from now. It'll be in the back bar in East Berlin. It'll be in the back bar in Seattle and in Cincinnati, Ohio.
So if somebody wants to try the Pathfinder and it's not on that back bar yet, what's the best way to find you?
Yeah, so we do sell our bottles online. Drinkthepathfinder.com is our website. And then we're also on Instagram at drinkthepathfinder. So you could find us easily there and order a bottle up and we'll send it straight to your house.
I love it. Thank you so much, Chris, for taking the time to tell the story of the amazing business that the three of you have built already.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.